Let us pray. Loving Father, today we come to learn from you, to be directed by you, because you are the way, the GPS. Open our hearts and eyes to know you more and to trust your direction for our lives. Thank you for your guidance, direction again, and help us not to get ahead of your plans, of your directions, of your guidance for our lives, and help us to know when to stop and listen for your direction. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know we all have heard of Nazareth. Nazareth in Jesus' day was a small, insignificant village. Only until a few years ago, and that was in 2009, that's the same year my dad died, they did uncover the remains of a residential building. Before that, there were only caves. Set this picture up in your head. So the picture of Nazareth looked bleak. However, there is a deeper picture Luke is painting here for his information about the circumstances leading up to the birth of our Savior. What kind of God? Ask yourself that. Who could have picked anybody or any place would come to Nazareth and to Mary? Think about the God that we serve. Is this indicative of him? The kind of God? What kind? That is our God. That's the kind of God that would do that. You see, that God reached into nowhere and picked out a nobody and made somebody. Does that represent any of us? We're all nobodies coming from nowhere, and he picked us. That's enough to praise and have a song in your heart as Mary did. You see, last week we had an awesome, powerful sermon about our identity. And that sermon, together with that sermon in my heart, I saw the real Jesus of Nazareth through Mary. Mary saw him. Mary saw the God that he looks beyond what we see. He looks beyond what we think we are, who we are. He looks beyond all of that and get to the heart of the matter, the heart of who we are. And he began to write our song. See, sometimes our song is a sad song. Just a little sad song. And sometimes it has high notes. Sometimes it has low notes. Sometimes it has flat notes. Sometimes the notes are up and down, undulating. One day up and one day down. We have heard testimony of that today. We have heard how in one month so many things could go wrong. This is the song. This is our song. But God is rewriting our song. He is looking for us to commit our lives to him so that he can write that song. God wants to rewrite our song. Some of our notes are high, some are low, some are flat, some are loud, and some are very soft. Some are sad and some have no rhyme at all. We just go aimlessly through life. That's our sound. He wants our hearts to be filled with joy and laughter, bursting with hope and praise like we did today. The hope and the praise in here, oh, it just brought tears to my eyes. When your heart is so full, it spills out. And that's what we should do when we are with everybody, with other people. Let God's love, let his purpose in our heart, his direction in our heart, flow so heavy that others may see and want to rejoice also. We can't do that if we don't know who we are. If you was here, if you wasn't here, get that tape and listen. Go online and listen to that tape, who we are. Let's look at how God rewrote Mary's song. Mary had a tune too. Let's turn to Luke 1:26, 38. And let us read. Let's see what's going on here. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God would give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left. Mary submits to God's difficult plan for her life. She had to make a U-turn. I had to turn around in order to get where I was going. I couldn't keep on the same direction and make it home. I had to turn around. Gabriel appeared and her plans changed. He interrupted her plans. He wanted his plans, which was God's plans, to be first. One voice from the church said, "What God did for her humble Mary was only the beginning for the great reversal of status that will eventually transform the whole world." What he said to Mary was just the beginning of the transformation of the whole world, or I should say, the transformation of me and you, what he did. Because he came, that was the beginning. He came to Mary, yes, to be born. But it was the beginning for us also. In other words, when he went to Mary, he was coming to you. He changed our status. Did you have plans that God interrupted when you was doing whatever you want, and you know, whatever you was doing, and God called you, you accepted his call, you made a U-turn. You move away from where you was going and where you was headed, and you answer yes to God. You turn around, and you allow yourself to become his servant, a GPS, God's precious servant. That is our GPS. We are two servants of God, as Mary said. How would you have responded? Let's read 26 and 27 again. Verse 26 and 27. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married. Ladies, you know that feeling and all the tension on the bride. It is your day. Nothing is going to mess with this time of planning and preparing for that occasion. But God interrupted Mary's plans. Mary could have said, I got a fiancé. I'm getting married. You know, I could get married. I'm going to live in this hole in the wall, me and him, until we die. Have a few babies, and we'll be there until we die. But Mary accepted what God said to her. Put yourself in Mary's place. Are we made a U-turn? Are we willing to accept where God is leading us and take his direction? Remember, we are God's GPS. He guides us. He directs us. He leads us in whatever direction he wants us to go, whatever hills, whatever mountains. We cannot decide what's right and what's wrong because he knows. We don't. Gabriel said, greetings, favored woman. Are you favored? Yes, indeed you are. The Lord is with you, and he is. He said he will be with us. He'll never leave us forever. I would think that either you want me to do something, if you come to me and say, greetings, favored woman, I think maybe you want me to do something for you, or you got something for me. God had something for Mary. But what he had for Mary was also for us. Because Mary recognized him as her Savior. And he is our Savior. What was her answer to God? Where did she fit God in her plans? Her plans. Where do we fit God in our plans? Mary wanted to understand how such things could happen. She didn't know. Now, you're telling me something, but I really don't understand. It wasn't a doubtful mind of what God can do. It was, how were you going to go about getting this happen, you know? Unlike Zechariah, who was a priest, and he should have known because he know the scriptures. He know Abraham and Sarah. He know that they got a son of whom there were descendants. But he said, I'm too old. And my wife, oh, she over the hill. Ain't nothing you can do to make her have a baby. But he forget the power of God, the one to whom the message came from. He forgot the God that can do impossible things. He forgot the God that can climb every mountain. He forgot that God, there's nothing impossible for him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing impossible for God. But whenever we deal with our difficulties, first thing comes to mind is, this can be done. Our illnesses, God can take away this. Our finances, what can be done? This is a job I have, so where would I get money from? Everything we do, we first see ourselves and others around us instead of seeing the great and almighty God. And today, that's the God I want you to focus on as you listen to the story of Mary and realize that the story of Mary is your story. Your story, because we have God dwelling in us. We have him. Mary had him physically, but we have the living God dwelling in us, the God that can move mountains, the God that can do whatever needs to be done for us, that we may be able to see a clear path to him. We may be able to see him. We'd be able to magnify him as Mary did. Be able to see him. And the more we take our magnifying glass and look into it and look into who God is, who our Lord and Savior is, the bigger he becomes. The bigger he becomes. But if we focus on something else, that is what is going to be big to us. We focus on our problems, that is what is going to be big to us. We focus on what we have, that is what is going to be big to us. We focus on what we drive or where we live or whatever, that is what is going to be big to us. And God is going to take a smaller and smaller role in our lives. Not with Mary. Mary said, do whatever you want, do to me. In other words, you're God. You made me. You made everything that I can see. There's nothing that I can do better than you. So I accept. I accept who you are. Not just fit you into who I am, but I accept your plans for me. I accept the ways that you want me to go, because all your ways are right. And you are a good God. When Gabriel told her that the Holy Spirit will shatter, and the meaning, that same meaning is in Genesis, when the Spirit hovered over the waters. It hovered over the waters, and if everything was void before that. And then what happened? Everything came to being. Everything came to being. All life that we know of, God created. As he hovered over the waters, in him was life. In him is our life. We too, as I thought of that scripture in Genesis 1, how void the world was, I think of how void we are without Christ. Nothing. We have nothing. There's nothingness. There's no explanation to anything. We aren't even. But with God, we are somebody. So many times women are derided, maybe put down, and this is all through the centuries. This didn't just start it. But if you would notice that so many times women are the ones that Jesus came to first. They're the ones that more willing to carry out what Jesus said. No, not that the men have them, because they have. But today is Women's Day, and today I want you to take a special look at yourself and see how God sees you. It is not about better than, but it is, where do I fit in God's plan? Not my plan, my husband's plan, my children's plan, my friends and neighbors, but it is, where do I fit in what God has for me? Mary somehow knew, from maybe her mother and father taught her that God was everything. And that's what she, inside her soul and being, she figured that if God says so, then it's so. No answers, no questions. Don't have to worry about anything else. And as Gabriel tell her, he said, Mary, even your cousin in her old age has conceived a child. In other words, he told her, because he said, he reassured her, Mary, if Elizabeth can have a baby, the Holy Spirit also can allow you to have a child. Then Mary said those famous words, I am the Lord's servant. May it done to me according to your words. Not according to anything I think, or any what Joseph think, or what Joseph's parents think, or the neighborhood that probably going to ridicule me because I'm a person pregnant without a husband and all of this. Later for you guys. Talk to the hand. I'm talking to God. So it doesn't matter what you say. God told me, this is what is going to happen. Those words speak of confidence in God, obedience to God, trusting God, putting God first. Her identity was an I am fiancé of Joseph, but I am God's. And the funny thing about doing it that way, each and every person can say, I am God's. I am God's servant. Mary was saying, I don't understand what you were saying, but since you are God, it is fine with me. What good news have you been given? What good news have you been given? You're sitting here, and there are many, many, many churches all over this world, and we have been given the good news. The good news. How are you handling that good news? What are you doing with it? How are you living with that good news? Each day you get up, what do you do with that good news? We should have the same posture as Mary. God, whatever you want me to do, then let it be. He is our creator, the one who wants everything that is good for us. Our ability or knowledge or strength or age does not determine what we are capable of doing when God so orders. Are you seeing yourself anywhere here? Or do you feel that there's something lacking that Mary had that you don't have? Mary magnifies God for his goodness and mercy. Today, oh, we had a praise. Well, people say, you had your praise on today, boy. It was on. It was beautiful. It was inspiring. And was all to the glory of God. Because you can't praise God when you think of yourself. It's hard to praise God when your vision is right here. Because you're not seeing anywhere. You're not seeing. Let's read Luke 1:46-50. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations, me and you, will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. To us, to all generations. Mary was so overjoyed that she burst in song. Whether you are impoverished, small-time girl, a mighty angel, or you have a song in your heart because of God's goodness. N.T. Wright said, underneath it all is a celebration of God. God has taken the initiative. He came. So he first loved. He took the initiative. God, the Lord, the Savior, the powerful one, the only one, the merciful one, the faithful one, God is the ultimate reason to celebrate. And we celebrate today because he was the reason brought us together to celebrate who he is. It is only when we let go of our choices and trust in our merciful Father that we are truly free. Free from fears, free from worry. Even when it is difficult, we can still let go. Matter of fact, when it's difficult, let go even the more. Because when you're free falling, you don't know if you're not like a cat, you land on his feet. But you land in the mighty arms of God. Wow, that's a soft landing. I remember when my kids were small, And we took them to see Superman. And Lois Lane was holding on to Superman. And Lois Lane looked up and realized, let me see. He said, Lois Lane saying, who got you? He said to Lois Lane, I got you. And Lois Lane said, well, who got you? See, so when we fall into the arms of God, we don't have to worry about who got us, where we're going to get our next meal from, where, what, when, how, whatever. We are in God's mighty arm. One that can provide everything for us. One that can give us whatever we need. Whatever we are lacking, we can come to Him, because He's the one that has it all. Mary trusts God to keep His promises to her. And that's another thing. We can trust God that His promises are sure, that they will never change. There's no turning with Him. He's always there. He will keep His promises no matter what we do. We can do whatever, just like He did, children of Israel, all down through the Bible as we've been reading and studying for the last year or more. We have seen that He kept His promises. He kept after them, and He kept after them until Jesus came through me and born of a Virgin Mary, and His promises still go on and on and on, and it never failed, never failed. We can trust Him. And don't trust Him because you see or understand, because Mary didn't understand how this going to be. She didn't understand, but she trusted Him, and she obeyed Him. And we are called, we make that U-turn towards Him. And that very same reason we can rely on. We don't have to see where we're going. I didn't know the way back home after I got off that street, but my GPS took me exactly to where I needed to go. God have you. He can take you wherever you need to go. We have individual lives, yes, and He created it that way. He created all our differences. And He knows that each of us has been gifted and been given a place in His family. And we don't have to worry about becoming all yellow pencils. We are God's beautiful array of colors and gifts. Ready, standing at the ready to praise Him. Listen to some of you sing songs. Oh, I wish I could sing like that. But God hear my praises in the way I sing anyway. Mary's praise in her heart comes from a heart that realized finally God's promises will be fulfilled in the child she will bear. Our hope, too, is based on these same promises through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The new hope that was being born, the hope that is the subject of so many songs, is ours, too. Mary sang songs. Okay. Surrender all that you are to God in order to be rich. We learn to let go of our riches in order to become wise. We embrace the foolishness of the cross. Seem foolish that God would go to a cross, a God who created the whole world. He could have, didn't have to do that. He didn't have to go to Nazareth. He didn't have to be born of a virgin. He didn't have to do that. He could have started out strong. But then where would all of us little nothings be? He showed us He lived as nothing, so that we could be in good company with the God that created us. In order to become wise, we embrace the foolishness of the cross. In order to become mature, we could become like little children. In order to become truly free, we become slaves to God. Truly free. Is that a contradiction? Free and slaves? Not with God. because with God you are free. In conclusion, the gospel does not tell us of any struggles Mary had being the mother of Messiah, but it's not hard to understand where a mother's love come from. It is not hard to imagine that she had a definite place and impact on Jesus' life. Did her life of humility and obedience shape his heart and his life also? Think about these things. Could Mary's complete submission to God's plan for her life had inspired him? Remember at the Canaan wedding, when all the wine, 3 days of drinking, all the wine was gone, and Jesus, and she went to Jesus and told him, you know, all the wine is gone. You got to do something. You know, she already knew his power. And she went back to the attendants and told them, do whatever he tells you. In other words, total obedience. Because what he says, because if somebody come to me and say, well, fill the things with water. But Mary had already warned them. So they don't have to think twice now. Do whatever he says. So he fills it with water, and voila, wine. He takes one of us from, or all of us from nowhere, and voila, we got a new identity. You know, we dealing with a creative God. We dealing with a God of power, a God of so intense love that he spares nothing to give to us. Nothing at all he spares to give to us, unless it's something we want that ain't good for us. But he, if it comes from him, is good for us whether we see it or not. And so we say, yes. Mothers, we don't have to look far to see how we have impacted our children, our husbands, our churches, our communities, and our workplaces. What if we submitted ourselves to God the way Mary did, without reservation? Who would benefit from it? Who? I'm sure there are people you love that would have benefit. So I get down to my last paragraph, and it says, I repeat again, GPS stands for Global Positioning System. You can go anywhere and find your way around, even though it has its problems. Taking you out of the way, but it still takes you to where you want to go. Sometimes GPS takes you all around town. You could have crossed the street and gone where you could have. We also are GPS, God's precious servants. We need to stop and turn to him. Like I had to stop and turn on my GPS in order to find my way back home. Or else I probably maybe in Washington or something. You know, I would have been somewhere different. We don't have to find our way. That's the good thing about being God's precious servants. We don't have to find our way because he is the way. Let's pray. Loving Father, we are so thankful for your word, Father, and your truth and the way, Father, that you lead us. Help us, please, Father, to turn to you in everything. Not just some things, but in everything. Let us look to you for our hope, for our direction, for our guidance, for our joy. Joy, Father, that passes all understanding. Joy and a peace. Thank you, Father, for who you are and for how you have made us and the plans you have for our lives. We give you all the glory today. And I pray that as we leave here, as we go our way, that we would remember, Father, that we are yours, and that there's nothing that we can come up against, nothing, absolutely nothing, that can claim us, because you haven't forsaken us. Thank you in the most precious name of Jesus. Amen.